Welcome to All Road 65 Max Radio, where the road ahead gets brighter as we journey towards truth, traveling through our dreams and an inspiration into a new reality. It's time, and your ticket is waiting. All Roads Lead 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson.
Greetings. Thank you for joining me on BBS Radio, All Roads 65 Max Radio. I am your host, Pamela L. Henderson. My focus is my mission statement, to help create a quality of life through social growth, inspiring jewels to become leaders by establishing partnerships with entrepreneurs, corporations, donors, sponsors, volunteers, the community, and abroad. Please join me every other Tuesday at noon on BBS Radio and follow me at Quora Pamela L. Space. My special guest today is Joy L. Dowdy, who says, have you been down for too long? Have you lost your life's rhythm and need to get back on the beat? And rise to the rhythm, Joy L. Dowdy, a.k.a. Dr. Dancer, demonstrates how you can get out of this rut and groove to improve your life. Famed Backstreet Boys and Take Five, original choreographer and ABC Los Angeles fitness motivator, tells us how he rises above setbacks and challenges to live in the groove power of his full potential. At last, I want to say thank you for giving me this interview chance, Joey, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Pamela, for that wonderful introduction.
How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing well, you know, blessed beyond measure is right. How I say it.
Yeah. That's right. That is right. How's the weather out there?
The weather, you know, it's going to get hot today, believe it or not. We're in October, and the weather is going to be like 94.
Oh, okay. Where are you located?
In Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we've been having that same kind of weather, too. I'm out here in the Bay Area.
Okay.
San Francisco
okay.
Bay Area. And just, yeah, just for the last past week, we've been like 102, 104.
Oh,
but today it kind of like tapered off. It's a little cooler. So it's about 85.
Wow. Really?
Yes, sir.
I need to be there where you are, 85. That's my kind of weather.
I know that's
the 90s
right.
And the hundreds are not me.
No, I love hot weather.
Oh,
that
you
I do.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I do too, because I lived in Florida before I moved to California, so I'm a tropical boy, but not extreme heat.
Yeah, that is true. Yes. Well, I have a whole bunch of questions. You are a very interesting person, and I'm going to get started.
I'm ready.
And I was reading about you, Joy, and okay. I first want to ask you this question. And you had faced some adversity, and you were put to the test in 2016, life-threatening incidents. Hip replacement,
yeah.
Followed by two freeway car accidents, back pain that led to two bone marrow surgeries. Tell me about this
yeah.
journey, and how did you overcome such horrific life challenges?
Well, I would say by the grace of God and the beautiful universe, I've overcome those adversities. It started back, well, one major thing, after I had my hip replacement back in 2016, as I was trying to get over that and doing my therapy and so forth, I was in two car accidents as I'm being rehabilitated, going from one place to another, two in 1 week on the freeway. Within 6 days, they happened. Those two accidents got hit from behind. So I said, okay, obviously the universe is trying to tell me something. It's time to take a break. It's time to regroup and rethink and whatever. But I would say that alone and being able to survive that had a lot to do with what I had done prior. You know, keeping yourself in good condition, keeping your mind, you know, in good condition, thinking positively, and exercising and, you know, diet, that type of thing goes well with it. But with that particular, those particular things, the hip replacement surgery and the accidents that happened within, after that, within 1 week, would have been enough for someone to have gone insane, because it was a lot to deal with. But I said, you know what? I'm thankful to still be here, to be alive and kicking, because none of those incidents has deterred me from doing anything. This is the divine power that we have, you know, and how when it says our bodies are beautifully and wonderfully made, this was the example for me and possibly for others to know how powerful that statement is, because I was able to get through those things and still keep kicking. Literally.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes. And that was my next question, because I was wanted to ask, how did dancing and being an athlete save your life? And I know you talked about conditioning yourself, working out, and also it has a lot to do with, you know, what we consume in our bodies, what we eat, and staying healthy, much as we can. Because you can be a health fanatic, but at the same time, who doesn't want a chocolate chip cookie?
That's true. Yeah, I would agree. Who doesn't want? I know I
right.
do.
So how did dancing and being an athlete save your life?
You know, it's interesting because I recently did an interview with Authority/Media magazine, and I was intrigued with that particular topic because no one has ever asked me from an athletic point of view of how dancing has affected my life, and particularly with these adversities, because dancing alone teaches you so much about discipline. It gives you structure for life in a good way, of being focused on the positive things, being focused on the mind, and having the right mindset. And we know from a body point of view, giving you structure on how to work out, you know, what things to do and so forth. So when those adversities came about, it was difficult to get to me to take me down. Because, yes, they came to take me down. I know that for a fact. But by being having a strong mind and a strong body through dance and this discipline, this structure and its layout, it was very difficult to take me down. And it hasn't thus far, because we're still talking. So that's how it has.
Wow. I know that. I mean, I have to admit as well, when we go through adversity, and here I can say for 10 years, I went through adversity. But that's another story. And it could have mentally taken me down. But I have to agree with you that by me kickboxing and by me running and doing a lot of different type of exercises, and my mental is very strong. I was able to overcome that. However, one thing that I was in denial of was I was in denial of not accepting that it did affect me in some type of way.
Right.
So I had a defense mechanism that was up, and so I became a warrior. And I didn't realize I had became a warrior. I was ready for the battle, and that's all it was. So what intrigued me about you and some of your quotes and your statements was, as I stated earlier, and when I introduced you, was, have you been down for too long? Have you lost your life's rhythm and need to get back on the beat? And that is what I am actually doing. So I am absolutely happy to talk to you today. And I'm glad that you can give me more clarity, because it's always great to hear someone else's opinion to help you move forward.
Yes.
So tell me, you're welcome. You said, find a discipline and you won't have to pray for a miracle. I have found that to be a very truthful statement. Yes, I did. So tell me, in your opinion, why did you make that statement? What did that statement mean to you?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I heard a girl who's an entrepreneur. I can't remember her name. I can't solely say that the statement completely came from me. It came from her. And I loved it so much that I said, wow, this is something I've got to marry myself, because I so believe that. And I had disciplines set in place, you know, and when those adversities came to try to take me down, they couldn't. Because the disciplines were in place, strong mind, strong body, strong will to want to overcome has a lot to do with it. You don't have the will to overcome it. You're lying in a hospital bed, you know, just less. Because when the nurse came to visit me when I was having my hip replacement surgery, she couldn't believe how well I was doing, because I had a will to get up out of that bed. So she said, because one of my clients, he's in bed still, and he's trying to figure out how to order a hospital bed, you know, besides his regular bed, so he can get out of the regular bed and get into a hospital bed. So, yeah. So I wasn't necessarily praying for the miracle. The miracle found me. So I didn't have to pray for a miracle. I knew in every surgery that I've gone through, I knew without a doubt, I'm going in and I'm claiming the victory. I'm coming out of this thing unscathed. I knew without a doubt, without one single doubt. No one could tell me, you know, even the anesthesias and stuff like they gave me for the bone marrow surgery wore off. By the time the surgery was done, I'm in the bed and they're saying, you know, well, you know, we're going to keep you here for an hour. I said, why are you going to keep me here for an hour? I'm up on 2 feet ready to go. Usually they keep people there for an hour. I'm ready to go. You know, and they're like, I said, yeah, I'm ready to go. Why are you? I'm walking right out. Do you need a wheelchair? No, I don't need a wheelchair. I'm walking right out. So here we go again. I didn't have to pray for a miracle. The miracle, by me positioning myself and doing the things that God brought forth and the things that were in my life, I didn't need to pray for it. It found me.
Wow.
The miracles will find you if you do what you're supposed to do. Every time.
I do agree with you. And that takes me to this next question, because I am a spiritual person and I believe in meditation. In your opinion, how can someone adapt a daily spiritual practice? Because that's totally important how we navigate through life.
I would say this. I think meditation is one of the most God-given universal practices that people overlook and tend to gravitate to other things for. Because one of the things you should do, the minute you wake up out of the bed, instead of looking at your phone, get up out of your bed, hook your legs on the side of the bed, and just sit up. And just take a moment to just be thankful for waking up, and be thankful for the things you want, you have, and what you want to do for that day. You know, in the calmness, in the quietness, that's where things happen, in the moment, in the calmness, in the quietness. That's when the universe is speaking to you. That's when God is speaking to you, when things are quiet, when they can get to you, because our lives are so busy. All of our lives are so busy. How can it get to us? How can it get to us? That's the perfect moment to set things in place. Whatever it is you want, however you want to do it, whatever thanks you want to give, starts that moment you wake up. And it all depends on what you're going to do. If you're on the phone texting, you're on the phone looking at the tweets and all that, then that's how your day is going to be, kind of all over the place. It centers you, and it gives you a position to be ready for the day and life, that meditation.
That is so true. You are the founder of World Dance. Tell me about your company and what guided you to become who you are today.
Well, I started World Dance when I became a World Dance performer, with back in the day Disney's Epcot Center. I got hired to be a World Dancer performer. It's very, very difficult to get in. Very few Black people were in the show. It took me 8 years to get into the show for one reason or another. That's how competitive it was, because you're among the best of the best of the people in the world. And you have to go through certain things to be selected. And so it started there, learning the various world dances, the African dance, Latin, Indian, that type of thing. And so I took it further because I'm into hip hop. I'm into contemporary stuff like that. You know, so I said, you know what? I loved it so much and learned so much from Disney's Epcot Center World Dances, but I took it with me for my life and in the future to teach others about it too. And the connection of cultures is a really great thing with it. And kind of like what I do is right now I'm getting ready to release my mini course that is all really world dance movements in a contemporary, sexy way. Because that's important too. Not to be boring. It's got to be sexy and have some sex appeal to it. So I'm taking those things that I've learned throughout the years of traveling to various countries and being a world dancer and bringing them into the marketplace in a contemporary fashion that teaches people just how to move, how to live, how to be, you know, and have some hot dance steps when you get out there on that dance floor. So you're just sitting there doing 1, 2, 1, 2. You can do 1, 2, 3, 4. You could have, you know, multiple things that you could do that you can showcase for yourself and look good and feel good doing. So that's really what, my World Dance Groove Fusion. And that's really what it's about.
Yes, I was on your website and it was very interesting. And so you're speaking about that. And I was going to ask you that question about your online courses. Tell me about your online courses.
The mini course that I'm getting ready to release in November is called Slay on the Dance Floor, Read My Hips. Somebody would probably think, wait a minute, read my hips. Because they have a lot to say, particularly now, but what I've gone through, and I'm sure some others. And there was a point in time when I didn't know if I'd be able to even use my hips again. I really didn't when I went through that adversity. But I had in the back of my mind that thought, I will overcome this. But I wasn't 100% sure, but I was willing to at least try. And the hips are connected to the core. And particularly for somebody who wants to lose weight and trim down, you've got to learn how to use your hips. And because they're connected to the core as well. And that's one of the things that people see the most on the dance floor when you're out there, because people are always asking me, give me some moves to do. I have the same moves that you over and over again. I need new moves. And so, but what I notice the most is when a guy gets out on the dance floor, particularly, you know, because women are more, you know, adverse to using their hips and being a little bit more sexy and so forth, and they want the men to do the same thing, but a lot of men are afraid to. When a guy gets out on the dance floor, what do you notice the most? How does he, when he starts to use his hips and do hip movements, everybody goes wild and the women and everybody starts to scream. So I said, you know what, this is interesting. If I put together a course /routine of showing people how to do that from a world dance point of view, African, Latin, hip-hop, Middle Eastern, all those moves are in there in a doable fashion. And you can not only just, while you're doing it, trim yourself down, but you can take those moves right to the dance floor. And this is really a course where I start with the, it's called end in mind. Because I always believe if you can see the end of where you're going to go, then you can always get there because you see it and you have it in mind. I got to make it to the end. So in this mini course, I'm giving people the end. It's the end of the routine that I'm giving you that we start with. We learn the basic moves and stuff too, but the whole routine that you'll end up learning is at the end. So you can feel like, wow, I can accomplish something. I did the end. Then we work our way up with the full course for the middle and the beginning. But if you don't feel like you can grasp and get to the end, there is no middle. There is no beginning because you may think it's too complicated. You may think I can't get there. But if you start with the end, you're already there. The only way that you can go is up from the middle and the beginning. So it is, you know, teaching and starting with the end. So that's what the course is about.
Yeah, that sounds great. I also would like to discuss too, because you are author of many books.
Well, I have two books. I have
yeah,
two
you
books.
Do.
The first book I wrote.
But
well, by now there are other things too. Go ahead.
Excuse me. But the book that I was intrigued about was I Love to Dance. Excuse me.
Yeah, sure.
You have a book out, Strut in 6-Inch Heels. Tell me about that book.
I'm sorry, repeat that again, please.
You have a book out called Strut in 6-Inch Heels.
Oh, that's one of the titles for my first book.
Okay.
Get Up and Groove, Step into Greatness. Strut in 6-Inch Heels. Let me tell you about this. It's a story I wrote about a girl that she was very young and she kept appearing in auditions that I would go to that I would be the choreographer for certain shows. I did a show for CBS. I did, you know, a thing for one of the schools, a musical, and she kept appearing everywhere I went. And her dream was to, I'm kind of giving the story away to some degree, but there's much more in the story than what I'm going to say. Her dream was to work with the Jacksons. She came to me, she was about 8 or 9 and said, I want to work with the Jacksons. I said, really? And so we were auditioning people at that point in time, and they had to bring in their own material. And she brought in a dance piece. She did Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation. She said, I'm doing Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation. I said, oh, really? She said, yeah. I said, can you work it like Janet? She said, well, I'm going to give it my best. And she was very, very good. And from there, I started seeing her in other events, keeping in mind that her main goal that she said to me is, I want to end up working with the Jacksons. Okay, so fast forward. Long story short, when Michael Jackson came out with his last film that he did, This Is It. And I said, you know, well, I've got to go see it, of course. And so I'm in the theater and I'm saying, well, I recognize some of these people from the audition, some of the dancers and the various people there. And there was one girl I kept looking at. And I said, wait a minute, she looks so familiar because she had grown up and she turned into a woman. And I kept thinking, it's so familiar. And so, lo and behold, he started singing this song, The Way You Make Me Feel, The Way You Make Me Feel. And there's always a female that he's trailing alongside as he sang that. And I kept looking, and I realized that it was her. It was Strut. And she was in 6-inch heels. She'd grown up from a little girl to a woman in 6-inch heels, and she's doing exactly what it is she wanted to do when she was 8 or 9. She's dancing with the Jacksons. Not only is she dancing with the Jacksons, she has the lead part. She is the girl.
Okay.
See that When you see that, when you see that, that's her. That's Strut. Her name is Makia Cox, and she is also an actress. And I think she's the show The Rookie. She's a police officer in the show The Rookie. But that was her. And it was, I fell out of my seat because someone left, people left me messages. They knew. They kept left. You got to get to the movie. You got to see. I said, why did anybody tell me? They didn't want to tell me, but they knew it was her. And so anyway, right. So that's what that's about. She achieved her dream and then some. So,
right.
And 6 inch heels.
6 inch heels. You go, girl.
Yes.
You are a multi-talented international performer that landed you on the cover of World Magazine. Tell me about that prestigious recognition.
Well, there's a magazine in Los Angeles called, what is that called? World Something Magazine. And it's interesting because you talk about dreams come true. Mm-hmm. It's in newspaper stands all across Los Angeles. And I would get the magazine and would read some of the articles and stuff in the magazine. And I kept thinking to myself, wow, this would be really nice to get an article in here one of these days. And so when my book came out, Get Up and Groove, Step Into Greatness, I submitted my information to the publisher because there was something that I saw on the cover of one of the magazines, some guy in a business suit doing a leap or something, whatever. And it was so inspirational. And I was like, wow, that's really, really neat. And so I contacted the publisher. And within hours, he said, yes, send me what it is you have. And in fact, I sent him Strut in 6 inch heels. And that was the article that got published in the magazine. Not only did it get published, I ended up being the face on the magazine for that month. My face appeared. I was like, wow. I had no idea that I would be the cover feature. I was the cover feature. They were covering that, particularly when you mentioned Strut and 6 inch heels. That's what made the magazine. And it was all out of a dream. It was one of my things that I said, one of these days, I'm going to have an article in this magazine. And lo and behold, look what happened.
Right. Well, wow. You called dreaming. That, huh?
Yes. That's why you got to keep dreaming. You got to see it. Well, like I talk about it in my recent article with Authority Magazine. You got to think it. You got to see it. You got to believe it, and you got to become it. All those things start with with your thoughts and what you think and what you say and how you manifest them to become reality.
So true. And that was my next question to you, because I understand how to conquer time management, people management, and resilience. In your opinion, tell me how not to lose my head and stay focused. Because sometimes when you wear a lot of hats, you can be all over the place and you do lose a little focus. And here I am, very hard on myself because I like to accomplish everything that I put out there. I have an awesome blueprint when it comes to my program, my mentoring program. However, there's other things that I do, but in your opinion, how can I keep, don't lose my head, don't lose myself and stay head focused?
I'll give you an example from someone famous who told me something once. I was teaching on this dance convention called Dance Educators of America. And Frank Hatchett was one of the prominent instructors on the convention. I ended up getting booked on the convention too. And Frank Hatchett was from Broadway Dance Center in New York. And very, very prominent man, very well known. In fact, at one point in time, way back in the day, he was partners with Gregory Hines. And I think it was called Hines and Hatchett back in the day, from what I researched. And so Frank was an African-American man, very much a mentor of mine. And when I would see Frank teach, he taught with excellence. And he was very, very, he knew exactly what he needed to do with the crowd, with the teachers and everything. I said, wow, this guy's so good. And so I could only marvel and hope one of these days I'll be able to catch up with him. Anyway, Frank has passed on, you know, unfortunately he's passed on. So, you know, I stand on the shoulders of Frank at this point in my life. And Frank said something to me one day. He said, I want to talk to you. And I said, he said, yeah, I want to. And I said, looking around going, me? Are you talking about me? You want to talk to me? You know, because this is the Frank Hatchett still.
Right.
I'm nervous, you know, thinking, okay, what is he going to say? What is he going to, is he going to pick on me? What is he going to say? Something he saw that he didn't like how I was teaching, how I was choreographing or whatever. So anyway, Frank and I sat down, I had a talk. And so I got a notepad and said, well, you know what? I'm never going to get this talk again. So I better write down every single thing that this guy gives me because, you know, he knows. And so Frank said to me this, I have something I want to tell you. And I was like, great. Okay, what is it? He said, learn to take time out for yourself. And I said, what? This is the advice. This is the advice he's going to give me. I thought he was going to give me all this extravagant advice about this and to do that. He said, this is the one piece of advice I want to give you. For you as a takeaway, learn to take time out for yourself.
So true.
And I said, at that point in time, I didn't understand it. But now I do. Because at that point in time, I was wearing many hats and stuff too. I was on the go doing this and doing that. I didn't know what it meant to take time out for myself. Had no clue. And how important it is to take time out for yourself. Because within that comes, you know, the renewal, the refreshing that you need. Everything that you need, you'll find it in, like, once again, we talk about with the meditation, connecting with the meditation, being a time to connect with the Almighty, with the universe. Taking
right.
time out for yourself is renewing. It renews you. And at that point in time, I didn't know what that meant. But now I do. That was the
Absolutely.
Best piece of advice he could have given me out of anything. And what he said to this day still reigns supreme. Take
absolutely.
Time out for yourself.
That's absolutely
that's
important.
That I would say. Yeah,
it's nothing like a little me time.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a situation like, well, you have. Because you've been through some adversity and certain things that were going on in your life, but you refused mm-hmm. to relax. And that is where I was. I had refused to relax. And here I am just still moving forward and not taking no me time. Mm-hmm. And finally, one day, something had just said, I needed to rest because I kept... Mm-hmm. not getting it right for the day. So like, I had an appointment. I was late. And here I'm never late, but I was late. And then I was supposed to be at a certain place to meet someone. And I just didn't have the energy to do so. And then it just dawned on me. And I said to myself, I have to take some time out and heal because I haven't healed. So healing is very, very important to the body because, you know, I call that burnt out. I was burnt out because mm-hmm. when you go through adversity, you get into this warrior mode like you were when you had the surgeries and here you ready to go. You know, no, I'm not trying to relax. I'm still trying to go. You need to release me. But your body still needs to heal.
Right. You're so right.
That is very important.
Yeah, it's very important. It's very important. And let me say this. I'm maybe jumping the gun a bit here. But what I want to say is, going through those adversities, I went through quite a few things that I saw people who didn't make it I had friends around me who did not make it. You know, they were taken out on a snap. But for whatever reason, you know, I, by the grace of God, I remained. And what I would say is what it has taught me the most going through those adversities is one of the things I would say, what I just said, was slowly take time out for myself, which I didn't know how to do. And it taught me about the true value of myself. I didn't know my worth. I did not know my worth. I thought my worth was wrapped up in things, in trying to achieve this, trying to achieve that, because if that's all you're trying to do, it's never going to be enough. You're never going to be able to achieve anything, really, because you're going to be on to the next achievement, because it won't be enough. I had to realize that I was enough without any of those things. Without any of those things, I had to realize that I'm enough. And I would say to anybody that you are enough right where you are without doing anything. And it taught me my value of what I was really worth. What are you really worth? All those things have put me into a place to where I know my value and I know my worth. I don't have to rush to do anything. I don't have to be at anyone's beck and call. And all the controversy, all the rejections and everything taught me about my own worth. And now I'm living within my worth at this point in my life because I know it. I didn't know it then. But now I know. And that's what those things taught me, slowing down, putting life into perspective, putting yourself into perspective to know who you are and what you desire and what you deserve. Because a lot of people underestimate their value and what they really deserve. Like you were saying earlier, they're stuck in living mundane lives and have mundane jobs. And they're undervalued, underpaid, everything. Because they don't know their worth. They don't believe that they can really step out on faith and do it. You know, and really have that dream job and create it yourself if you need to. And do what you really want to do. Until you do that, I was just talking to my niece about that the other night. I said, you should, until you learn to work for yourself, you're always going to be at someone else's beck and call. Always. Until you learn to work for yourself, make your own money, do your own thing, you're never going to be happy. You're going to be running from place to place to place. And when are you going to do it? And what are you waiting for to do it? And so I have my niece right now working on a plan. She's got to get back to me with her plan. I say, is it written? Because the book says, write the vision and make it plain on tablets. The book says, write it. It's not enough just to speak it. You got to write it down so you can see those words manifest itself.
You know, yeah, absolutely.
And so I have her. I have her working on a plan right now that she's got to get back to me with.
I know that's right. Mm-hmm. That's good. That is good. Good point. Yeah. You are an author of, like I stated, several books. I love the title of the book, Live Your Life's Highest Capabilities. Tell me about that book.
Well, like I just said, and this is an example. I'll give you an example of how that phrase and how and what that really means. Most people who take a class or come into my class, most of the time, come in with low expectations. Right. They'll ask me, oh, is it going to be too hard? Am I going to be able to do this and this and this? Most of the time. They don't come into it with, okay, I'm going to have a great time. I might not be able to get everything, but I'm going to do the best I can. I rarely ever hear that because they've already lowered the standards for themselves before they even step into my class. But I have a high standard that I don't lower for anyone. You got to rise up to my standard because that's what I'm there to do. I'm there to position the standard and to show you how you can rise up to it, which most people don't come in with that. But with my classes and what I do, they leave with it because I don't lower the standard. And before they know it, they've risen up to that standard. where it is they want to go and what it is they want to do every time. I've never met anyone who did not improve in my classes. Never. And not only did I teach them, but they teach me. Everybody teaches me something. I'm always learning. Oh, I'm a student of what it is I teach because I'm always learning, always growing.
Absolutely.
But living your life's highest capability is we're meant to live high. No one is meant to live low. It doesn't exist on this earth. Look how big and beautiful and bountiful and prosperous it is. No one is meant to live low unless you lower your standard and think this is as far as I can go. If you think that, then you're going to adapt to that.
Absolutely.
When the standard is high that. For everybody. The standard, I mean, the life is meant to be lived on the highest level. It's not meant to be lived on the lowest level unless unless you lower your standard and go down to that level, you should always be thinking up high. And so live your life's highest capabilities is what you should be doing. If you're doing anything less than that, then you're not really living. You're just existing.
Absolutely. I do agree with that because I always talk and discuss about what I call a great leader. Improvement pioneers have inconceivable characteristics, part of the associations have dependably achieved top and base business improvement no matter what their spending plan presumptions are. Advancement pioneers supervise associations for asset adequacy. The actions that helps a trailblazer to transform into an empowering pioneer who is accessible to understanding and having an order. I'm regarded to perceive the people who have value propelling others, especially the 45.5% of women motivational speakers. They are the ones that inspire, motivate, help change lives, and help give direction. And that takes guts. So I stand with them.
Yes.
Your approach has been proven to decrease stress by 45%, depression by 71%, and boosting performance by 26%, all by investing just 1 hour a week in better habits. Please elaborate how your method became your blueprint.
You said a lot of good things here. I'm soaking it all in. So
You soaked that in. You soaked that in because I was really, really feeling you. I really admire who you are and what you put into who you have become and how you give back by motivating others. And so I read about how your blueprint of decreases depression by 45%, 71%, and boosting performance by 26%. And you said that it only takes 1 hour a week in better habits. So I wanted you to explain a little bit more about your blueprint and how that has changed lives, in your opinion.
I would say, I may be a little off the cuff with this here, but it's still related. It's still in the same area.
Yeah.
That
yes, go ahead.
Most people think that they need to do everything or nothing. I even hear this with people that want to lose weight. You know, they want to lose weight and they say, well, you know, if I don't have the time to put this in, whatever, I'm not going to do anything, you know, whatever. They don't realize that doing what you can do is better than doing nothing at all. As you can
True.
See, a lot of people doing nothing at all. You see a lot of folks doing nothing at all. And talking about what they're going to do, shoulda, coulda, woulda, and going to do. And it never gets done. And nothing gets done. Taking small little steps, little little by little by little by little by little by little, step after step after step after step. That's where the dancing comes in too, but it's a metaphor for life. You got to take the first step, then the second, then the third. You can't take that first step, then there's no second or third. And because that is what leads you into being motivated to want to do more, because you start to see accomplishment. Like I said in my mini course that I'm doing, start with the end in mind. You get there, you can see that, wow, I accomplished that. You start to see accomplishment by taking those small steps. Those are the things that motivate us to take the larger steps, the little things that we do that people overlook because they think it's all or nothing. It's never right. All or nothing. Well, it could be if that's what you choose, but it's the little steps that lead up to the big steps that people overlook, who say that they want to get here, they want to get there, but they don't want to take that first step. So that is what I would say.
Yeah, I do agree. I even liked that you stated that life is a dance within itself.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that. I like that.
You know,
I like that. I like that quote. That is very inspiring, because life is a dance. Everything we do, we're dancing.
Yeah. Because it's movement. Either you are going to move. If you don't move, you're dead.
Yeah.
You're dead in thought. You're dead in ability. You're dead, you know, in so many ways. You know, physically, you end up there, because think about, they always say to people, particularly those who are morbidly obese, you see on these shows, laying in the bed and just eating food and eating and eating and eating, you know, 500, 600, 700 pounds, and how the doctor will say, if you don't move, you know, you won't make it. And I see those shows, and I say, yeah, you're right. If you don't move, you won't make it. You just won't make it if you don't start moving, because it's that important. It is connected to life within itself. And so, you know, it's so very, very important. And I believe that it really is one of the keys to being able to get ahead in life, just by simply moving. There's something. Now, repeat the question again. I want to make sure that I answered it all, because I can.
You did. You stated it.
Did I?
You are right. Absolutely. Life is a dance. We can't
dance,
be stagnant or anything of that nature, or life is just going to be dead. So you have to get up and you have to move. Yes.
And I remember what you're saying with that quote now, and I added something else in there too. I think it might be on my website, because there's a forward step.
Let me tell you. I got it, Joey.
Go ahead. Uh-huh.
Okay, so let me tell you. You stated, through stories and humor, there are practical steps you can do to take control of your life and do it one beat at a time. That's on your website. Tell me about that.
Yes. Their story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we know that we live by the story. And in the end, the memories of those is what's going to keep us going. That's what is what always keeps us going. And memory and storing is also a part of movement, being motivated by the movement, being motivated by the story behind certain things. If you think about, you can be down in the dump, you know, and start to remember something that made you smile, something that made you laugh back in the day when you were a kid or you were something. You know, I was thinking about that the other day, you know, when I was a kid, certain, you know, kids I knew that said crazy things, did crazy things that make me laugh still to this day, that keeps you going. It keeps you alive. It keeps you smiling. It keeps you laughing. Those are the dances in life. Before, even the back step. Oh, I just went in for this job and I didn't get it. Let me tell you about the back step. I went in once. Let me tell you about the back step. I went in once with Universal Studios as a choreographer to get this job. A friend of mine had a production company, and she said, Joey, there's a job at Universal Studios that I'm, you know, requesting you to go to for an interview. And so I went into Universal Studios, and there was an executive there. And the executive had a very nasty attitude, condescending, he was arrogant and pompous and whatever. And I kept saying to myself, why am I even here? You know, and then he was asking me about other choreographers that he was auditioning. And I'm thinking to myself, that's great. And I knew who the choreographers and people he was talking about. And he was trying to get me to say some negative things about them. And I didn't have anything negative to say because I know how hard the job is and how much work it takes to get there.
Right.
Excuse the noise.
You there?
Okay, it passed. Yes, it passed. So he was trying to, you know, discourage me and trying to discourage me. And so I left the interview feeling like I gave it my all, but there was nothing more I could do. I was discouraged by his negative attitude, you know, condescending statements and whatever. But anyway, lo and behold, there was a lady in a cubicle behind him. He left to go take a phone call during the interview. I said, who gets up during an interview to go take a phone call? But, you know, he's Mr. High and Mighty. He leaves. I'll be back in a second. He takes a phone call. There's a lady in a cubicle behind me. She peeks her head up and says, hey. She said, I like your work. I like what you're going to, what you're doing. She said, I like the movement. I like the music. She said, I'm working on a show here at Universal Studios that I need you for. I said, really? Okay. And so anyway, she gave me her number and we ended up connecting. And that show became the start of Halloween Horror Nights, the dance extravaganzas that they do. They're still doing it today. And then while I was on the set for that show, I got another show with NBC Studios working with Brandy and Brownstone. They were doing a New Year's Eve special. After the Halloween show, I went right from one show to another. From that back step of being down in the dumps and thinking, you know, I didn't get the show. I didn't, you know, the interview didn't go so great. The guy was whatever. But it was a back step that
right.
I didn't allow it to get me down because I kept going. And look what happened from that step. So that forward step, that back step, that side step, you know, and steps that make you go around in a circle is what I'm talking about with that phrase, you know, that,
right.
But still the dance gets you back to where you need to be, the center position. No matter if you go forward, back, side, whatever, you end up getting back into place and into position if you keep moving.
No Absolutely. Matter where it takes you. Absolutely. Yep. I must say, Joey, you are a true servant leader who lives by your life motto, always willing to serve. In your opinion, what makes a great mentor and how do you create within someone to promote personal growth and enlightenment?
Okay. From my opinion, what makes a great mentor is a person, man or woman, who's willing to listen. You got to be a good listener because it's not about you. As much as you want it to be about you, maybe, maybe not, it's not about you. It's about whomever you're working with. And you have to be a good listener. Because I work with a lot of people doing SEO stuff and doing video stuff. A lot of these guys are not good listeners. They're
True.
Too focused on the money. They're too focused on their own ambitions, you know, which is good to have your own ambition and stuff. But when you're working with people and you're working on helping them to achieve their dreams and their goals, you got to take yourself out of the equation. And you got to focus on the mission at hand and how you're going to deal with. Like, for instance, when I have worked with ABC, as a fitness motivator, and I had a program back in the day, about a decade ago, helping these two women lose weight. One was an African-American. She was about 100 pounds overweight. And one was an Asian-American, and she had about 20 pounds to lose. And so I had to really think about, okay, here are two different nationalities, and whose lives are different, whose nationality. So how am I going to make sure I reach them? So I listened to them. And we had a nutritionist that worked with us as well. Every meeting that they went to, I went to. Every place that they went to that was important for them to learn how to grow and to do, I went, because I'm willing to learn. And I wanted to see how they're going to react. I'm learning about them. They're also learning about me. And so I'm taking myself out of the equation. I become just as they are. If I'm in this grocery store and the nutritionist is working with them, I'm learning too. If I'm going to the doctor and the doctor's working there, I'm there too. I'm learning too. I'm listening to what it is so I can take it back to them and be a part of the whole process. As a good mentor, you have to be committed to the entire process and think of unique ways, because everybody's not going to learn the same. Everybody's not going to receive the information the same way. You got to learn how they're going to, or learn how to teach it to them, how they're going to receive the information. So you have to really be a good listener, and you have to be committed as a whole to the whole process. Whole process, you have to really be committed to it. And like I was saying with the two ladies, they would say when the news cameras would come, anchor people, they would give me credit, which I was thankful for, that they would say, well, how did you stay committed to this? They'd say, well, I mentor my coach was there to make sure I stayed committed to what
I absolutely agree.
And
I talk about
that. For that.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Go ahead. No.
I speak about that all the time within my organization, because it is so important. And in my opinion, the measure of a great mentor has much less to do with how you define your role. It is more about your actual impact on others. Qualities of a great mentor who will have resilience, transparency, and emotional intelligence are the main factors that make a successful mentor. And I do believe individuals such as you, Joey, have that powerful gift. Just talking to you and going through our conversation, it is good for the human race, being able to give clarity and to help others to understand their awakening is what the world needs. And I thank you for sharing your gift.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And I'm happy and thankful that I'm able to share it with others. Really. I really am. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I know we're coming up on time, but tell us, Joey, it has been a pleasure having you on my show. Do you have any last minute comments you would like to say? And then tell us about how someone can contact you on your social media and the website.
Yes. I've had a really great time with you, Pamela. Great questions. I don't always get great questions like that. I do quite a few interviews. I'm always looking for someone who's done their homework and is going to really let me have it. Going to come with me with some real questions, you know, not just the general stuff that everybody else asks.
Right.
Okay, that's good too. But you got to,
you got to.
Uh huh. Go ahead.
A lot of people always ask me, well, Pamela, any questions you have, please send to me. Well, to me, that's not how I like to interview and like to have my discussion, because we're talking truth. We're talking truth about things that we've been through, how we have overcame, and what better way to do my research, because I want to know who you are. And, you know, that way we can elaborate on the truth. So it's all about the truth. Yeah. I don't want anything like made up and like, you know, drawn out and just like a robot issue. No, my radio station about what I do is speaking the truth and how we're going to overcome and move forward and give our experiences and share our services with others. So that's important. Thank you so much for saying that.
That's wonderful. And it shows. It really does. It does show. There's a difference. There's a difference. And what I really want people to do is to, you have to, it's a must, sign up for my pre-sale for my course coming in November. It's only pre-sale. The course is $115, which is cheap, but the pre-sale is $89, less than $100. So I know if people can buy those tennis shoes and stuff like that, whatever, and you know, sort of way more than that, and sign up for this course and do something for themselves, you know, and get ready. So by the time the new year, 2025 kicks in, you're ready to get in your tights and leotards, sweats, whatever, and hit that dance floor B and work it on out.
So, right.
That's really what I want people to do. You know, I want people to get this pre-sale, you know, coming up in November and be ready to get out there and to do your thing, you know, to improve yourself, to transform, make a transformation for yourself. So that is really what I'm focusing on and promoting at this time, my new mini course coming, pre-sale coming in November. They can contact me at joeyelzowdy.com. I have a newsletter that they can join, and they can sign up. And if you sign up for the newsletter, then I know, you know, that who you are and whatever, and you get the newsletter, and you'll be a part of my newsletter, my email list that I'll be sending out this information to first, because the people on the list will get, you know, they'll get it first, and that's your little bonuses and stuff. So that's what I want people to do. I mean, you have to, because you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it, be left behind.
Yeah. I'm going to have to check that out myself and get on that dance floor, yes, some 6-inch heels. And do me.
Yes. This will prepare you to get your 6-inch heels and, you know, so you can get ready to get out there.
Right. Well, readers, I have reached my destination. And as always, I leave you with this quote. The interesting thing about coaching and mentoring is that you have to trouble the comfortable and comfort the trouble. Rick Charlesworth. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I will see you next week on BBS Radio, All Road 65 Max Radio. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to All Road 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson. Join us every other week on Tuesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio Station 1. And please visit allroads65max.org and become a volunteer or a sponsor and be the change you want to see in this world. With your help, we can make a difference in our society and uplift those who so desperately need our help. Thank you for tuning in.